Morning. This afternoon, that is. Thankful to be here. Seems like it's been a little while. In life we face a lot of things. Life doesn't always go as planned, and there's an interesting saying that I've been hearing recently. It says, "Blessed are the flexible, for they should not be bent out of shape." I think that's good. It's good for us to think about that, because we have a lot of plans in life. And many times it doesn't go as planned, and so it's good for us. Just a bit of the order of the service today. First of all, I know in the brochure it says that my family and I would share. I'll probably be the only one sharing here. We're thankful to be here today, to say the least. Earlier this week, it didn't look like we were going to have to opt out of that. But it seems like the Lord's been continuing to bring healing. I came home from Oregon, myself and Dustin, and we came home to almost everybody prostrate in the house on the couch. So that's what last Sunday, stayed home with my family. I wasn't personally sick myself. And then, We find that in the life of homeschool, we find that there's more in homeschool than just doing books, as it were. And that's probably one of the biggest things I would like to emphasize this morning is homeschool is not just book learning. Homeschool is from the beginning of that child's life until the end of their life. I find myself homeschooled in a major way. I am being homeschooled. And so I would like to emphasize that this morning. It's not just these certain years. Yes, it is, but there's more to it. So we are not going to be able to share or sing. We were going to sing a song. We'd actually started practicing on it, but that wouldn't go real well at all this afternoon. So we'll have to opt out of that. I'd like to start out. After I finish here, I'll turn the time over to Samuel, and then a little later we have a man by the name of Scott coming to show us some CPR classes here and the Heimlich maneuver. So that sounds really interesting. But I'd like to start out this afternoon by looking at Colossians. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Colossians 3 just for the sake of some scripture before we get into some thoughts that I had regarding the subject of homeschool? Colossians chapter 3, I'm just going to read a few verses. We could look at this whole chapter regarding our subject this afternoon, but we can't. We have a picture here. This letter written to the Colossian church. We have a picture here of what it looks like to have on the garment of righteousness. He says, "If you then be risen," in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Colossians 3, chapter 3, Colossians 3, verse 1. He paints here a picture of the garment of the newly converted man. He said, "If you are risen," in verse 5, he says, "Mortify therefore." And he goes down through. I'd like to focus on two verses, 18 and 19. Seemed like, why would we focus on these two verses? for a homeschool subject of that nature. Verse 18, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. I feel like that's one of the very first areas that we should start on this subject of homeschool, if you may. First of all, there needs to be a unity and a flowing between the couple in order for homeschool to ever work. Whether it's just doing the grades from 1 to 8 or 1 to 12, it's so much broader than that. This subject of wives submitting, husbands loving, this is a big subject. And in order for homeschool to function properly, the husband and the wife, there must be a connection and a flowing together and a communication and a husband watching over, helping, whatever necessary in the homeschool setting, and a wife and husband communicating, submitting to one another, talking together in order for it to flow. And so just laying those two groundworks first and foremost of the importance of the homeschool setting, those two verses 18 and 19. And then 23 and 24 of that same chapter, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. One thing that we tend to notice, we tend to not notice, is that those grade school years from 1 to 8 or 1 to 12 are some of the most informative years of a child's life. And I tend to not see that always as I ought. And so what I would like to just touch on briefly is some of the principles that we have felt in our home have been important for us, that have worked for us. And not only that, I'm only going to touch on five of them. There's many more. And I'd like to be the first to say this morning that my understanding is limited. We don't have time to touch. There's so many areas, as I was pondering on sharing this afternoon, we can go so many different avenues on this subject. But most of all, when it's over, we want our children to see Jesus. We want our children to understand that it's not so much, it is about learning to read and write and all those things. But it's that we point our children to the Lord Jesus Christ, not only by what we say, but how we conduct our life, I feel is more important. So those are some of the blessings of homeschooling. The title that I have here is homeschool / grade school with integrity. That word integrity simply means completely and soundly, doing it right, trying to do it right by the grace of God. And I know we haven't arrived. I'm not sharing because we've arrived, because we haven't. We are in working progress on this subject. So, in our minds, sometimes when we think about, in quote, homeschool, our minds immediately go from grades 1 through 12. But the broader spectrum is that we're never done with homeschool. It never quits. I know I said it before, but you know, we think of the preschool and then the grade years, and then the after grade school, and that's that school there It's going to depend a lot on how that child operates after it's out of school. It's going to depend on how that child was instructed in school. The employer will even notice the difference. And we'll touch on a few of those reasons, how that will be noticed in the future, whether or not those informative years were important. And again, we'll only touch on a few of them. I grew up with the concept that grade school is a must. And let's move through it as fast as we possibly can so we can move to the bigger and better things in life. Well, as I think back over my life and as I observe our homeschool setting and as I observe people working for me over the years, then I see that there's something far greater in those informative years of schooling, grade school, that are extremely important. So I would like to emphasize those book learning years as some of the, probably in my mind, are probably some of the most important years. And we'll look at a few of those reasons. Our children learn some tremendous biblical values in those book learning years. And not necessarily, they learn things from the book, but they also learn some very profound structure in a school setting. And here's just a few of them that we'd like to talk about. I'm going to spend very little time on any of these. We're just going to touch on them. We're going to touch on them briefly. In these next 5 points, we'd like to look at the benefits, the short-term benefits and blessings of these 5 points. But then we also want to fast forward into the future and what happens if this child does or does not learn this concept and how that it will affect marriages, working for future employers, and so forth. It really affects the future. Now, I'll make a disclaimer. These 5 points, we are in working progress. We have not arrived. And that's one blessing of homeschooling. You know, we see a need. Many times we sit down as a family, we talk about things, we talk about needs, and we work through them. And we try to move ahead unanimously together. Obviously, if it's a personal need, depending on personal, we address it in a personal way. But if it's a corporate, many, many times we sit down as a family and we actively try to move through those needs. Probably one of the first vital things that I see has been a blessing in our book learning years, is what I'm going to call it now, is timeliness. And especially for those book learning years. We have noticed in a very short time that a child that is lacking sleep really struggles with concentration. And so it seems that when you have a row of young children and you have your first one in school and it's that the push and pull of schedule and trying to shift and make everything work in life and church and all that, and to get in to bed on time, at least a decent time to where that child can have adequate sleep so the child can wake up in a decent time to prepare for the day and to think correctly. And so the blessing of timeliness, if possible, for a child to get to bed so they can learn, so they can sit up the following day and to learn correctly. You know, one of the things, I grew up in a home that was very, very timely that way. My father was a dairy farmer. He We had to be done milking our cows by 7 in the morning. The milkman was there. And so everything revolved around a schedule. My mother didn't have to go call Dad for lunch. Lunch was at 12. Dad watched his clock, and when it was 10 till 12, we headed for the house. Lunch was ready. There was no question there. It was just the way it was. 5 o'clock order rolled around. Mom never called Dad for supper. Dad was there, and Mom had supper ready. It was just, obviously with the dairy, it can be a little different, I understand. And so that's how I grew up. But I learned something. I learned something very valuable, I feel. I don't remember my father being late. If he was, it was because of a sick animal or some children who forgot to turn off the water and flooded the barn or something. That happened numerous times. So, you know, I'm very limited in my perspective on this because I didn't grow up in your home, and you didn't grow up in mine. And so therefore, as we think about this together, it's not about just this point of view this morning or this afternoon, but it's about thinking about it together and what the long-term effects can be on some of these things. So if we expect timeliness from our children, school starts at a certain time in our home. It has for the last, I'm not sure, probably the last 10, 12 years. Now, obviously, there's a lot of disclaimers. We're a very normal home. There's sometimes that things happen, and again, blessed are the flexible, because they're going to be bent out of shape at times, and that's all right. But then to come back to the schedule again, we feel is very important. So to just teach our children timeliness, and then this, let's just look ahead a little bit. If we put that child into a marriage where they have not learned timeliness, and so therefore their partner can't expect, he's not going to know when to expect him if they say they're there at that time and then they're not, and so there's a lot of things that can happen in playing with that. He tells the employer that I'll be there so-and-so time, and it's always 5 minutes late or 10 minutes. And for some people, some companies, after the second or third time, it'll be fired. I know companies up our way, big companies, that's how they operate. And so it is important. It's a tremendous blessing to an employer, wife, children, church, when we can learn the blessing of timeliness. And obviously, it's in working progress in our home too. And also on the contrary side of, there will be, you know, the employer, the wife, the children, and the church will suffer if that concept is not learned. And furthermore, it can be a mar to our testimony. Now we struggle to be on time. For sure. But I remember something my father said. He said, if I can be 10 minutes late continually, then I can change and be 5 minutes early. Never forget that statement. If I can be 10 minutes late, if I can be on time 10 minutes late, then I could possibly change and be 5 minutes early on time. And he was a dairy farmer. I don't have any excuses sometimes for being late myself. So many times it's my excuse. This is my excuse many times. I just wasn't paying attention. And so that's not a good excuse. So these are just a few things. Number two, quietness in a homeschool atmosphere, learning, quietness. I know there's a thought pattern that's floated around in society that it's a child, and a child's just always loud and noisy and rambunctious. Well, I don't know that we necessarily find that in Scripture. A child doesn't have to always be going and going. That's one thing a child has to learn to do is relax. We have a lively home, but there's no better way for a child to learn to relax is if there is a daily family devotion where everybody sits down and there's a quietness and just a peacefulness and let's relax, be quiet for a little bit. Sometimes total silence for just a short time can actually be a real blessing. So quietness, learning to be quiet, learning to be quiet in the homeschool setting, in the grade school setting, where children, when the books are out and the pencils are moving, that there's just a quietness. We have a policy. We don't always excel in this, but we have a policy that there needs to be a raising of hands if somebody needs help, just for the sake of less distractions for the rest of the children. And again, there's various ways of doing this. This isn't the only way. This is only my limited view of grade school setting. And again, we parents are being schooled as we go. So the blessing of just learning to sit quietly, even a younger child that's not in school yet, will amazingly catch the atmosphere and will sit there raising their hand for whatever. It can be a real blessing. So the long-term effects of that, of a child learning quietness, we could spend quite a bit of time on that. We don't have time, but think about that. Just think about that. A child learning quietness and how that, take all these points and add more and put them into marriages and churches and brothers' meetings. And it's amazing when these concepts are learned young. And yes, it is a challenge. We understand when you have a row of children and you're trying to do grade school learning, there's some days. My wife had one of those days last week when I was in Oregon that they didn't do any school. That's just the way it is some days. It wasn't possible. So life is very real. The third point here is something we continue to work on, and that's simply proper response amongst each other. Proper response to siblings, sibling to sibling, parents to siblings, parents to parents, just properly responding. And in all these things, we do fail. But there's no better place in the evening at family devotions if we have failed to just simply apologize and to just say, I'm sorry, I missed it. I just missed it. That's a good time to do that. So sometimes when the going gets tough, it doesn't mean that, you know, the going does get tough. It doesn't mean that children and teachers and parents or whatever are allowed to become frustrated. We have not always done well, but prayer and communication has been a good, godly approach. I'll be the first to say that my wife and I have failed in this, but an apology and clear repentance can make a difference. And again, think about this long term. Take this concept, put it long term into the future. If I don't try to be a good example for my children will carry this over into their marriage. And again, we see a succession. But may God give us grace that the succession will be on the positive note, not the negative note. That's my goal. The fourth point is attitudes about school. We have come to the point where we allow zero tolerance for negative comments about school. I don't like school, or I just don't. No, we're not gonna. And again, rewind about 30 years in my life. I grew up in a home where school was spoken about negatively. The teachers were looked down upon. in school was just we got to push through this so we can get out and get on with the important things in life. That's not good. And it did some damage to me. And so I don't have time, but I can give you a testimony of that thought pattern is how I started into homeschooling. And we were into about the second year, and we hit the bottom. And so attitudes about school. School is very, very, very important. Grade school is important. You learn some things much greater than mathematics and reading. I was just sitting the other morning and watching my children with their open Bibles, and I said, praise God, my children learn to read so they can read the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? I think that's wonderful. So attitudes. Attitudes about school, but attitudes in general. Waking up, being negative needs to be dealt with at a young age. That cannot be accepted because that just keeps going. Just keeps going. Do we have it? No, we're a work in progress. We're working on it. I have those things in my life at times. So no negative comments. It will affect us in the long run. Yes, it will. Those things will affect us in our marriages, homes, and brotherhoods in the future. The importance of consistent daily school. I have this one yet. And a few final comments, and I'll turn it over to Samuel. importance of consistent daily school. I wish I had time to expound a little more on this. For those of you who have young children, infant, expecting, or an infant, and have a first grader in school, I have a lot of grace and a lot of mercy for those situations. Those are very difficult things. And to... don't take this as your infant needs your first attention. That's very important. And so those can be a little challenging years as you get your first one started there with a row of little ones behind you. I heard the comment made one time that dads can keep a homeschool from becoming a burnout situation. So dad's coming alongside doing whatever it needs. If it is to teach a class, that's good, but if nothing else, change diapers, bounce a baby. Many, many times I've held a child at my desk, and it's a little difficult to do quotes and hold a baby, but you know what? It's a great blessing. We can learn to multitask. That's all right. It's good for us. So, saying all that to say that in order to have consistent daily schooling, it's going to take some maneuvering in order to make that happen. But again, we need to be flexible. It's very important to be flexible. I don't think we don't allow it to just take off whenever we please. If our children want to take off, there needs to be extra school done according. Now, when the family took off last week because they were sick, of course there was no extra school done. That's totally different. We need to be practical. We need to be real. The reason, you know, you think about the long-term effects of just taking off of, quote, school. Now, I'm not talking about grade school. But if you take that into the long-term thought pattern, there's this, we can just kind of opt out because, well, yesterday was stressful and I don't really want to go today. That's not reality. Reality is we go today even though we don't feel like it. Reality is yesterday was stressful, but we pray for grace and we ask the Lord for mercy and we move into the next day. And we know, many of us know and have experienced the blessing of just shouldering the challenge and the stress and moving into the next day, and we find that God blesses us for the effort. So opting out is not an option, but let's be reasonable on that subject. So just a few more final thoughts. Some of these or from a book that I've been pondering through. Homeschool is a lifestyle. Homeschool is a lifestyle. It's not these short years from 1 to 12. It's a lifestyle. We would agree, we find ourselves being homeschooled in a major way. Homeschool is like holding a mirror to your life like nothing else. And the reason for that is it doesn't take long for parents to see their children's needs, but very soon, if I'm honest, it will also reveal my own needs. I think that's a blessing. I think we need to accept that with humility. That in the homeschool setting, we're going to have some of our needs pointed out, and let's be humble enough to receive them. It may not always be easy. I've found that it's not always been easy, but because, you know, I'm dad, and but the fact still remains, dad has to humble his heart at times and repent. And the blessing of that, and the peace of that, but then also to still lead. So, we have our needs pointed out together, and we talk about those needs as a family. We personally do. We talk about the needs. We talk about my needs. We talk about where dad failed. We talk about where mom failed. That's all right. That doesn't make us weak or look weak. It's all right. The flesh may not think so, but the spirit within us says it's all right. Did we notice the kingdom principles as we went through only those 5 points? We could add a host of points to that. But just think about that. You know, it's not just grade schooling or homeschooling, if you may, that's preparing our children. It's not just homeschooling. It's preparing our children to be future pillars in the church of Jesus Christ. It's such a high calling to teach that way that we must call upon God. You know, we could talk about as arrows in the hand of a mighty man. We could talk about that. And most of all, this morning, maybe if you're in here and you are overwhelmed with school, find somebody that's older, somebody who's maybe already done, and talk with them. The encouragement this morning would be to do not believe the lies of the devil that you're the only one that's struggling with this certain area. Or maybe there's a child that's not getting it. Maybe it's time to make some changes there. We've had to. So, most of all, if we can just encourage each other together, maybe you're young and you're looking at this vast grade school subject and you're saying, I don't know that I can handle it mentally. Well, you probably can't. Alone, no. Not possible. But when a husband and a wife come together, like in Colossians 3, 18 and 19, and they agree and they move ahead by the grace of God, it will work with some challenges, but it'll work. So, that's a dear subject of mine. There's many things we could talk about. There's many areas that we have not touched. And if I've said anything that's not clear, please say something to me. Sometimes we totally miss some details where we should have. But most of all, encouragement is, this is eternal teaching, those grade school years. Very eternal. I'll leave you with that.